podcast guru, Greg Huntermark.
You were rocking earlier. This is Guru Podcast, Greg Huntermark, Toledo, Ohio, sitting down with AKA who?
Eliane.
Eliane?
Yeah.
I love it, Eliane. What's going on?
Nothing. Just hanging out with you.
Hanging out with me here at the Collingwood, folks. We're going to rip into a podcast shortly. You came all the way from Columbus.
I did.
I'm happy. Thank you for making that drive.
Yes.
2.5 hours, whatever. We just got done doing a little bit of a photo shoot.
We did.
And we're going to continue on with that because we're working on our goal, folks. And if you don't know about it, the Detroit Dirty Show art has to be in by December 1st. It's a great place to hang out. It's over Valentine's Day week. It's two weekends. Right there in February, and one of them's Valentine's weekend, and I think it's then the following weekend. And it's at the Russell Warehouse up in Detroit. It's a beautiful facility. It's like the Collingwood, but it's a warehouse, you know. And you've been around this. You were just talking about photographing in an abandoned building.
Yes.
You are awesome. She gets around folks, and she just loves. Well, you do this once a week. You photograph.
I try to.
Try to every day.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's not why we brought you on the show, though. We brought you on because, and the way I found you on Instagram, I don't know how, I guess, but we came across each other. And one of the things that you really, your art speaks to me, and it speaks to other people, and it's exactly what you're working on, is bending the stigma behind BDMS and roping.
Yes.
And kinks, right?
Yes.
And this is what you do.
I do.
You teach people through your photographs.
I try to, yes. Well, my photographs and just posting stuff on my page. You know, a lot of people are kind of don't think highly of BDSM. It's taboo. They think lowly of it. They think it's an abuse thing, and it's not. I mean, there's a fine line, but they don't think great things about it because there's not a lot of knowledge taught about it. And the only way people are going to learn about it is if people who, I guess, practice it. They talk about it.
Right. I think it's in our very nature to be a little primal. And I think if you're not being primal in the bedroom and roping or blindfolding, right? And a little choking, a little spanking, you know, you're missing out a little bit.
I think everyone probably does a little bit of that, but they just don't talk about it because they don't think the other people are doing it.
Right.
I think that because we're kind of told to be more vanilla or taught to be more vanilla, that we don't talk about it. We're told to keep hush-hush about it. And honestly, if you're not doing those things, you're kind of missing out, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of vanilla out there, though. You know, you were saying, what is your take on sexuality in America? You know, you were saying that earlier. You see it as very vanilla? Or you see it as...
I think a lot of people will come off as they are vanilla, but behind closed doors, they want more or they are doing more than what they are showing others.
Yeah.
Just from my friends themselves, a lot of them are very vanilla. Out of my very close friends, I'm the only one who is into all the things that I'm into.
Sure.
And that's fine. They accept me for me. They're very supportive of my lifestyle, even though they don't understand it. But that kind of makes it difficult for me to talk about the things that I want to discuss with them. So with that being said, you kind of have to find others that you can talk to and, you know, reach out to.
Right. Yeah, like we're doing right now.
Right. You know, you have to, with those friends, I've kind of had to teach them, just like I try to do on my page. I try to teach them the language. I try to teach them that it's okay to be choked in a safe manner. It's okay to be spanked and... I just did, I think it was like last week or the week before, I did a series on impact play. People don't understand what impact play is. So I did the different levels of impact play, whether it be just from light spanking to all the way to whipping. And I talked about the different marks that can be left behind and, you know, things like that. Because, you know, people don't understand that just because you might be getting spanked,
right,
you know, that can be fun, but for some that might not be fun. And then you have to go into the consent and boundary types things too. So it's not just a simple let me spank you. There's a whole lot of things that go into all of that, which might be why a lot of people don't want to dive into doing those things, because it's not just cut and dry.
You have to communicate it.
You do, absolutely.
You have to communicate it. You have to be really open. You have to be authentic with yourself. You have to be real without any guilt. I just said earlier, the observation of oneself without guilt, you know, or condemnation or anything like that, is the highest form of intelligence.
Yes.
You know, and that we have to observe ourselves, allow ourselves the freedom to be able to do this. If you look into the light too much, you become really a radical religious, you know, fanatic kind of, you know, and if you look into the dark too much. So there's got to be the yin and the yang, the balance in that sense. I think for us, though, and we're kind of middle aged, and I'm a little older than you for sure. But I talk to a lot of young people. I think young people's sexuality is very free today. I think it's unfortunate, though, because it's based on what's in. Like, for instance, it's into being lesbian. It's into being bisexual. You know, so everybody's doing it. You know, girls are kissing each other and all. And I mean, whatever. You know, I mean, girls have been kissing each other for a long time, and it's all great.
But
I've had my fair share of menage with trois, so it's all fun. You
right,
know?
But those things were not talked about. But today, it's all being talked
right.
about.
Right. And well, one of the things they say that's popular today is when they have like a two-on-one, and it's the second guy that gets to fuck her after the first guy came in her. That's the privilege. It's not the first guy. It's the second guy that double dips and gets to fuck her with the cum in it. That's the exciting part.
Oh.
So there's some really weird kinks out there today for younger people that I hear, you know. But I think today it's like I've had couples that have been friends with in the past, and they're like, you know, they'll kid around like, oh, my wife wanted me, you know, my wife was wanting me to fuck her last night talking about you, you know, thinking about you, you know what I mean? And I'm going, really? That's cool. That's cool.
I don't think that's uncommon, though.
Yeah, I don't think it is either, but I don't think people want to take it to the next level and go to a swing club either. I think they're just like, you know. But for you, it's too much of a rabbit hole.
It probably is.
Come on, Alice.
I mean.
Man, you took one pill in the other room and you got really tall in there. Your legs are really long.
Yeah.
Well, you're like, I'm going to call you AKA Alice.
I just feel like, you know, I know who I am, and I just feel like once that door is open, I'm probably going to love it. So, yeah. You know, I'll probably go, and I'll love it, and I'll go again, and
right.
That's fine. It's just, you know, we all have to take baby steps, and I'll get there eventually.
Sure. And we talked about this last time, and you know, don't try something just once. You should try it three times.
Yes, absolutely. And that's my motto. Always try it three times, you know, because I feel like the first time, you know, you might not love it. You might not hate it. The second time you should have a better feel of you know, of what you like about it or don't like about it. And the third time you should definitely
tweak it.
Yes.
Tweak it.
Right.
I really like that part, but I didn't like this. This was good.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and then the third time you should definitely know if this is for you or not for you.
What was it one? Because you helped me identify something about myself, and I'm very, I know my sexuality. I know that I've talked to you about it. I'm a stag. I enjoy bulls coming in, or you know, just a third party, but mostly bulls. I love seeing women pleased. I'm that's my kink. It is what it is. I have fetishes in the sense of, you know, thigh highs, and by the way, you were popping them earlier for me, and I want to thank you for that. And we got some great pictures, folks, coming out. You guys are gonna want to see this. Get on the G Hunter_photographer on my podcast. I mean, my Instagram page, and you'll be seeing photographs of this young lady, beautiful young lady. Just want to throw that in there. But what was I saying before that? See how I get off on that? Shouldn't have done that.
I don't know.
I shouldn't have done that. But I did want to ask you this question here. I'll ask you this. That I seen in me, you know, you were teaching me. You're teaching me about my sexuality. That's what it was. Because there's a type of where you blindfold someone.
Mm-hmm.
You take... And I like a wand and like a, you know, a little small paddle. There's a different device. Each device has a different purpose. People don't know. Like when you got in the nursing, you had to learn all about the terminology, right?
Correct.
And the same thing with this, folks. You have to learn the terminology.
Yes.
There's different things. You know, you got the flogs, you got the paddles, you got different things of that nature. But this little paddle, and I had a meme on it. I put it up on my Instagram. And it was like, you know, where you subtly take this and maybe rub her nipple or just...
Oh, you're talking about the crop.
Yes, and you do the clip maybe, and then you spank it.
Yes. So, yeah, a crop. It's a leather crop.
Yes.
Yeah, you can use that. So that's actually going to be my next series that I do is on, like, sensory play.
Sensory play.
Yes.
This is what I was trying... Oh, I love this. I did this for years and didn't even know that was some kind of play.
Yeah. So
see, that's what really blew my mind. And folks, this is where you have to see it. I've been doing that sensory. I'm blindfolding girls all the time. I love doing that.
So the sensory play with the crop is actually, that can be a cross between sensory play and I think that I wrote that in my last series that I did. You can do the sensory play with the crop or the impact play because it's not, the crop itself is, I mean, it's got a nice little sting to it. It's not a, it's a stingy toy, not a thuddy toy. Mm-hmm. And if they go to my page and my highlights, they'll be able to see that last series that I did. But yeah, the crop, I mean, it's something light that you can rub across the body and then you can hit them with it.
Just
and it's
like
got a nice little sting to it.
Nice little sting
to it.
It's one
of my favorite toys.
Yeah, I've always loved doing using that. Always have.
Yeah, and then if you throw in the blindfold, obviously you're shutting down one of those senses and it's making your other senses come in tune.
Isn't that, did you hear that, folks? That's powerful, right? Because we have the five senses. I understand in sales that you want to stimulate the five senses. When you're stimulating the five senses, people are buying. You know, the visual, the smell, everything, you know, and so, you know, people buy, and that's when you shut one of them down.
Yep.
The other four get stronger.
Correct. You can.
But we have six senses, don't we? We don't have five, do we? We have six.
Probably
you know, that third eye your son was trying to produce.
Yeah.
I want to talk to your son. He's a cool kid, man.
Man. Well, my other son's trying to now find his third eye, but.
Get him a tattoo with third eye.
No.
No?
No.
You have any tattoos?
I do.
Yes, you do. What am I saying? Well, yeah, you got the water lily, right?
I got the lotus on my side.
Yeah, look.
And I've got another one underneath my breast here, and then I've got the one on my wrist.
Right. What was I thinking? Yeah. And your nipples are pierced. Beautiful.
They are.
Yeah, beautiful. But you taught me, and you taught me about myself in that sense that I was doing this play and didn't even know there was a name to it, and, you know, this is what it is.
That's the thing. A lot of people in the bedroom, they don't realize that they are doing things that are considered part of the BDSM stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They assume that BDSM is just control, and it's not just that.
Mm-hmm.
It's bondage. It's submissive. It's dominance. It's sadism, it's masochism, it's all of those things together. Just because you're doing part of it doesn't mean you have to do all of it. You can pick and choose which areas you're comfortable in doing.
Mm-hmm.
I myself am as submissive. Day to day, I'm dominant, but in the bedroom, I'm submissive.
Right.
I am a masochist. I love me some good pain. But the pain for me isn't always sexual. I think we've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone is going to be into all of those things.
Right.
So that's why, again, communication is key.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the pain aspect of it is a need outside of a sexual need. That's not across the board either. So, again, everything has to be communicated.
Right. And then you said something though at one point, I brought it up today. You said a couple weeks ago we were talking, and I brought it up today, is that at one point the communication stops.
It does.
And the other person has to know.
Correct.
That is powerful. That's a whole nother. That's kind of like, you know, I always look at relationships. You know, a lot of people say up and down, up and down, up and down. But if you take it in a circular motion, you just go up. You know, that's kind of like going there. You know, to me, it's like saying, okay, now we're really becoming one. You know.
So with BDSM, it's encouraged to always have a safe word.
Safety word, yeah. Pink.
I think.
Lollipop. What's yours?
Well, I'll be honest. I've never used a safe word.
I have
always used body language as a key. I make the person I'm with learn me.
Right.
I make them learn my body language. If I'm gagged, mm-hmm. and if I'm blindfolded, and if I'm restrained, how am I going to say pink or pineapple or possum or whatever word, whatever
possum.
Word you want me to
O-M-G.
Say?
OMG.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like, how am I going to say those things
I'm
if I'm completely gagged?
This is true. Right. Well,
you
yes.
know?
Yes.
So how am I going to say that? So
you
have to be able to know
right.
that you're pushing me past that limit.
Right. 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 Because you could be gagged and
yes.
you got to know body language. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's funny because you were saying, you know, you were saying that you're, you know, aggressive during your day-to-day businesses. You're more, you know, you're not submissive.
No.
But when you get into that area of the sexuality or, you know, your way of releasing tension or whatever,
I'm submissive.
Submissive. Then you're submissive in that sense.
Yes.
I personally wanted to, I knew I was never submissive. I am in ways, but I'm not. I have to first be the aggressor, then I can submit. As long as I know I have, you know,
right.
that, then I can allow, you know, like maybe even being pegged. You know, is where I'm going with this. You know, I wouldn't do that right away. That couldn't be right away. That would have
right.
to be me first establishing. But I remember there's not too many wise women. I mean, you know, I'm sure there's not. Well, I know there's not a lot of wise guys out there. But, you know, this one woman, that was, she was very, very interesting. And just an amazing person. We got together and we went to have sex, and she was very aggressive. And I couldn't get it up. Just wouldn't work. So, you know, we just kind of left it at that night. You know what I mean? She came back about a week later or whatever and, you know, tried to do it again and did the same thing. And she said to me, she goes, "What's wrong?" And I says, "You're being too aggressive," which I should have told her the first time. But I don't like to tell people what they're doing wrong. You know what I mean? To me. You know what I mean? If you know I'm not, then you can. And it's amazing. Even like a girl one time, grabbed my cock, she's rubbing my cock and everything like that. And so there's no lube on it. She's not spitting on it or anything like that. And she thinks she's getting me off. I'm like, "Jesus Christ, you're about to rip my dick off. Put some lube on it. I got to spit on it. Would you help my man out?" But, you know, going back to, and she immediately shifted and became very submissive. She goes, "I like being submissive." And she.
So you have to communicate.
And we seen each other hot for 2 years. And I think we've talked. You mentioned anal sex a little bit in the book of the Tao. Not the Tao of Love, but in the Multi-Orgasmic Man, in that book, they dedicate a whole chapter to anal sex and how healthy it is for individuals. So some of these things you may not think like, "Oh, that's not good," but anal sex has a lot of anal play, I should say. Mm-hmm. You know, prostrate massages for men have a huge impact on men. Men in America, we were talking about the difference between Europe and, you know, Brazil and Italy and stuff like that, and how free-spirited they are with their sexuality compared to America. And, I get off on these tangents and my mind gets shy. I guess I forget where I was going with that. But, the anal part of it, the prostrate, you know, getting the prostrate massages and stuff like that. They say that American men lead the world in prostate cancer.
Because men are afraid that if they have anal sex, that it's going to turn them gay.
Right. Or if they have the fingers stuck on their ass, they're going to be gay.
That's they're missing good. Out.
Oh, don't do that.
They're missing out.
Right. And they sit on their ass all day in front of the TV watching ESPN instead of roping their woman in the other room.
They should do that.
But you don't need a man to rope you. You rope yourself.
I can.
So tell more people. You actually rope yourself, folks. This is the thing I don't think I really brought out in her. Her pictures are very, very, they're beautiful. And the geometric and everything and the patterns you do, and you do these just unconsciously. You get in the room, you tell your kids, and that's a whole other part of this podcast, you tell your kids, "Hey, mommy's going to get naked and go rope."
It's pretty much like that. Yeah. So I had a guy who introduced me to rope. He would tie me up, and I absolutely loved the feeling of the rope on my skin and how... it made me feel. So I started, basically I wasn't getting that enough. So I started tying myself, and, I haven't stopped. I've been tying myself for quite a while and, love it. I won't stop. I used to post it on my personal page, and my friends were like, "You know, can you stop posting your ass next to your kids' faces?" So that's when I started posting it on my other page. And I am shocked with the response that I've gotten. And so I do. I tie myself up usually 5 days a week, and I love it.
It's a form of meditation to you.
It is.
And it also releases tension, right?
It does. It's the feeling of the rope on my skin. It's the tightness. Most of the people we're talking to aren't going to understand it unless they have been into rope play itself. But it's a nice feeling. Yeah. It's kind of like giving yourself a big hug, but I'm not a hugger in general.
Oh, okay.
But it's, I don't know. I love it.
It's amazing what you say about a hug, that autistic people do not like to be hugged. Some of them, I believe. And there's this lady in Texas that changed the whole cattle industry, that they hug the cattle. They have a machine that hugs the cattle before they take it out. And she created this for herself. She had to step inside this, you know, to bring this. And this is what you're doing. And I talk to people, the shibari, it's called.
Yes.
It's a form of Japanese bondage. Yep.
But it's
World War II, I think it was actually, you know, torture back then.
Yeah, a lot of people think of it when I tell them it's Japanese bondage. They assume it's like a sexual bondage. I mean, it can be used for that as well, but it's more of an artistic point. So I do. I get my ropes out, and it's kind of like a free flow type of thing for me. I might have a vision in my head, but 90% of the time doesn't come out to be what I thought it was going to be. But it's almost always symmetrical. I don't do asymmetrical patterns at all. It actually drives me nuts when it's not symmetrical.
Okay.
I hate it.
Oh, now what is that? Is that OCD?
It's very much OCD.
But I think OCD is, it should be CDO, shouldn't it?
No.
Alphabetically correct, it should be CDO.
No, I don't, that doesn't bother me.
I'm autistic.
Asymmetrical ropes bother me.
Okay. I love it. I love it.
But yeah, so I just,
yeah, you're doing fun. But you also like to be spanked.
I do.
Okay, now.
Huge fan of spanking.
But I wonder if my audience knows anything about subspace. Subspace, what I heard, this is a really, really good analogy of subspace. That it's, if anybody's had a runner's high, if you've ran in a marathon, there's a point in a marathon when you run in a marathon that it is like, it gets so painful, you just want to quit. Mm-hmm. But when you don't quit, on the other side of that is like, it's like the breaking the sound, the speed of sound.
It goes away.
It goes away.
Yep.
And you, and it's euphoria. Euphoria just goes. I did see one of the pictures today. We were looking at the pictures because I wasn't wanting to do a rope your ass photograph here, which we're going to be doing shortly after this podcast. But you had someone where it was spanked. I said, I don't want your cheeks that rosy.
Yeah.
Because them damn things were rosy in that photograph.
Yeah. That was actually several hours afterwards, too. Yeah. And that was literally just, I needed pain. So like I was saying, pain is not always sexual for me. I would much rather have someone take a paddle to my ass, take their hand to my ass, sometimes take a whip to my ass, than pop a Xanax for my anxiety. I know when I need it.
Okay.
It's a release for me. You know, some people smoke weed. Some people will take a Xanax.
This is powerful what you're saying, right? Some people smoke weed, right? Yeah.
It's a release of endorphins. Anytime that you are experiencing pain, your body will naturally release endorphins. Those endorphins are what make you happy.
Right.
I'm choosing a natural release rather than taking the Xanax I'm prescribed to help me out.
Right.
So
I do microdosing.
Yeah.
I microdose because that helps close the ego down, and it opens up the, you know, serotonins and endorphins and stuff and releases us.
So,
you know, but don't we always chase after this and everything we do, we chase after the feelings of releasing this, you know?
Yeah. So when I get super, super anxious or, you know, frustrated and I've had a really bad week or whatever, I will have somebody spank the shit out of my ass and not feel bad about it.
I love it. I love it.
And then you have, you know, I'm one of those people who loves the marks.
I do too. I love seeing the little marks.
Yes.
I used, don't get me wrong, I love spanking girls. I do. I used to, what do you call it, like a teacher's thing. You know, it was a real paddle. It wasn't a paddle. It was like a stick almost. It's like a regular stick. Man, that welted up on that girl really fast, but it looked really nice.
Yep.
It was art to me, yeah. I definitely took pictures of it afterwards.
Yeah, the paddles are okay, like as far as marks, but hands are nice too. I recently ran into an evil stick.
Evil stick.
Yeah, I have one in my bag, but they are fun.
You know, we're going to be seeing this after the podcast, folks.
So first experience was a couple weeks ago. They're nasty little fuckers. They are, I don't know if I want to like fall down on my knees and cry or if I just want to come from them. They're like pretty amazing. They are, you pull them back, they snap your ass, they cause major welting and bruising. Like, they're amazing, but they're nice.
Yeah, feels good.
I'm
getting turned on by you just telling me about it. You keep talking about it, folks. Hold on a second. Guru's going to go get a drink. I got a little bourbon on the spot. Okay, keep talking to the folks here. I'll be right back. Hold on.
Whipping is not something I typically choose. It's only if I really, really need a really hard pain, just because it is pretty intense.
I was going to look at something. I was going to ask you a question when I walked away to see if you know... Okay. So, but oh, I was going to ask you about cultures as far as cities. You live in Columbus.
I do.
Is there a lot of BDMS going on there? Is there more cities prone to BDMS versus?
I would say there probably is more.
Do you get your rope out of Baltimore?
I don't.
Because I hear Baltimore, there's people in Baltimore, there's a couple guys in there make rope really well.
I get my rope from the Damn Good Rope Company.
Okay.
Which there's a link actually on my page for that, and people can actually get a discount from them on there.
With you? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep.
Incredible, incredible. But hey, talk about how you've embraced your children and getting them to, like for my children, my grandkids coming up to the studio, I was telling you. You know, Olivia, Aria's 4 and Olivia's 7. You know, I got all the nude photographs, and they're carving pumpkins and painting pumpkins and stuff. And, you know, my granddaughter did ask me, you know, Papa, you got a lot of nudes. And I said, well, did we leave the art museum just a little bit ago? Yeah. You know, was there a lot of nudes there? And she goes,
yeah.
End of conversation. You know what I mean? That was it. So how do you go about with your, you know, I know, you know, a lot of people think that's where it's, you know, wrong.
It's not wrong. You know, we're all born naked. You know, unfortunately, America is not too keen on the idea of walking around naked. You know, you follow me on Instagram. I have to literally censor everything that I post on there. If I didn't have to, all of my pictures would be of me naked. I model naked. I do a lot naked. My kids know that I do my rope naked. They know that I do photo shoots. My oldest knows what I do at my shoots. She also knows what lifestyle I live as far as the BDSM and stuff like that. My oldest is 18, and then I have an 11-year-old, and then my triplets are 6. So each level of ages, no different levels of things, I guess, if you will. You know, just like we need to normalize BDSM, we need to normalize that nudity is okay. At all levels of ages.
Right. My mother was always walked around upstairs, never downstairs, but upstairs, always topless. We see my mother. My dad always walked around in his underwear.
And it's fine.
Yeah. I think the more you make a bad, you know, like, well, when I got divorced, my wife got mad. No more walking around in your underwear in front of my kid and daughters. And I'm like, well. Oh,
you're covered.
Really? My daughter? They're my daughters.
Right. I mean, I don't see
I taught my daughter more about sexuality than their mother ever talked to them about.
They need to be taught.
Oh, otherwise, yeah.
That's when things are going to occur. I mean, my oldest daughter, I mean, even now, I teach my kids about sexuality and sex education based on their age. And I do it based on, you know, their level of understanding.
Right.
So my 6-year-olds know what they can understand now, and then I'll build on that as they get older.
I'll have to work on that because I give it. I'm a shot no chaser guy. I think I've been talking to my grandson since he was 9 about masturbation. Someday you're gonna want to play with that.
Oh, they start playing with it like as soon as they can grab anything. So
you know, I told my first experience. I thought I broke it, and I just kept breaking it afterwards.
Well, and they shouldn't be shamed on masturbating. No, that's a natural thing.
But yeah, I know. I'll have to tell you a story later. I can't put it on the podcast. Right. I would not
He'll
do
hate
that.
You for that.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah.
That.
No. I mean, all of that should be natural. Like nudity, masturbation, yeah. All of that stuff. It's all natural.
My mother never let us lock the bathroom door. She says boys were not allowed to because she didn't want us masturbating there. My sister could lock the door. She was one girl of five boys.
I bet your mom locked the door and masturbated.
I bet she probably did. Madeline. My mother was a nun. She was Saint Madeline. She was. We answered the phone. She worked for seven priests.
I masturbated this morning.
Oh my God! I want to role play that. I'm serious. Can you put that, folks? We just had her in a nun outfit, and I was photographing her as a nun, right? And I was telling her that this building, Collingwood, is based on the fact that it used to be, you know, a school for young girls to go to become nuns, and that there was probably that one nun that priest always had to pull aside and spank in the corner, and that when we understand that corners and circles are more like synagogues where evil does not lurk in circles, cannot, it doesn't have the place to hide, but we understand that corners and people, things that lurk in the dark, in the corners of the
and,
dark,
and then he
in the corners
me,
of your mind.
And then he made me lurk in the corner.
I made her lurk in the corner. I should have I should have been the pastor. I wanted to be a priest when I was 11.
I have a pal.
You came
my car.
Out of Catholicism too.
I did.
I got a flog right over there.
I have a paddle in my car. I think I have. I actually have my crop in my car too.
Oh, that's the one that makes you sting?
No. That's in my bag. Oh, I have a crop in my car.
Right, that's in your bag.
You never know what you're going to find in my car.
There you go. Oh, I love it. I love the fact that if you're like me, when I got pulled over in Canada, they made me come over and they stripped my car down. They're looking at my camera. They opened up and started looking at these photographs, like all these nude photographs.
Yeah. I drive around with my triplets, a flogger, a crop, right. A paddle, yeah. And
well, people think you're pom-poms. The flogger's a pom-pom.
Yeah. I'm always worried what's going to happen if I ever get pulled over after a photo shoot. Like, why do you have, this chain, this collar, this crop? Why do you have these vibrators? Like, what are you getting into?
What are you doing here,
worry about yourself.
Right, I'm living. Yeah, they want to know. Well, when they first pull you over, they ask you where you're going. Like, why do you need to know that?
Right.
I never knew understand that question.
I'm gonna go get spanked. Do you want me to spank you first?
Right, officer, get your handcuffs out.
Right.
I love it. It was I did get pulled over when I was going to Canada. I screwed up. Took both of my my passports with me and gave them the wrong passport and had it all mixed up story and shit. They pulled my ass over. I was high. they stripped my car down. They got my camera and they go, "What? So you're going to see this girl by the name of Mysteria?" And I said, "Yeah."
Sounds legit.
She's on FetLife. Are you on FetLife?
I am.
Are you? Okay, fine, fantastic. Why don't you give the people information a little bit where you're at as far as what they can catch you.
So I don't use FetLife a lot because there's a lot of dicks on there.
Okay.
They're very aggressive, and I don't do aggressive.
Yeah, they do show their pictures of dicks. They like showing their pictures
do.
Of dicks.
I mean, I don't mind Jeez the dick pics, but they're very
I get
aggressive.
A lot of compliments on my dicks by guys on there.
Probably because you wear purple headphones.
I actually bought that for these headphones. Now, here's the story, folks, okay? The girl that became submissive for me, you know, we got to play. We had a great run. We did have a great run. It was a lot of fun. And we did do a little, we had a little stag bowl kind of fun night. And that didn't turn out that well. She didn't, she told me the next day she didn't really care for it. And that was fine. We never did. Boundaries are always, it was always encouraged. And, you know, that's why you have safety words and or whatever, you know, communication, right. Some kind of communication. Always good communication when you're having sex. But we did a podcast together. That was my first, maybe my second podcast I did with her. So I got her these purple headphones, okay? And she read the book, Dr. Seuss, Places We Will Go. And I gave my perspective on it, on each, you know, chapter or whatever. And so it was a great podcast. It was fun, you know? And it was kind of my second one. So, yeah, she was class act all the way around. And she taught me a lot of things. And that is about communicating. And understanding that, you know, she said, I'd rather be submissive. She goes, I don't know why a woman wouldn't want to be.
I choose to be submissive just because so much control every single day of my life. I am in control of my five kids. I'm in control of things at work. I'm in control of literally everything. When I go to the bedroom, I want someone else to take control.
Sure.
I want someone else to call my shots. I want someone else to tell me what to do.
Right.
I want someone else to tie me up and have their fucking way with me.
Right. No, don't. And that's where I thought I was going to play in it. I did meet, and there's a podcast up, folks. It's on iTunes only. I don't have it on Spotify yet. It's on iTunes, and it's with Angelina Thorne, Dominatrix. I went to one because I manage 65 people. Okay, so I'm thinking maybe there's another side of me I don't know about. But I also wanted to do a podcast with her, and I wanted to get to know her. And so it was like 3-4 years that we were off and on connected. And then I used to go on runs with her, you know, for other guys. And that's a whole other story. That was weird. I did that a couple times, and with her. But she pegged me, and but I didn't like all the pain. I did not like all that pain stuff. I did not like it all. And, you know,
it's
I had sissy
everyone.
Was the word. I was using it left and right. Sissy, sissy, sissy. Stop, stop, stop.
Yeah,
but we did a
pain
couple.
Isn't
we
for
did
everyone.
I couldn't get her to do a podcast with me until she lost a Michigan Ohio State game. Then she finally fucking came up here and did a podcast for me.
It's all about the control.
Oh, I know. She sends one of her servants into the place where I work because, you know, I sell things. You know, I'm not going to talk too much about that, but. You know, I'm here for mistress. Like, okay, okay, buddy. You treat mistress right now. And he goes, I will, I will.
That's That's hilarious.
It is. But Angelina Thorne, what a great name, right? Do you have your stage name? Is anything like that? You got anything like that?
Oh, Ellie-Ann.
No? Ellie-Ann. Mm-hmm. Right. AKA. And tell everybody Miss Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Love that smile. You never, folks, she's beautiful when she models. She's got the melancholy look down, right down pat. It's like perfect. You know what I mean?
It's the don't fuck with me look.
Yeah, I know. I got a few smiles out of you for just shits and giggles, and I wasn't even looking for the smiles because smiles tell everything. You're happy.
Yep.
When you don't have a smile, then you're kind of like, people are like, what? The melancholy is like, what is she feeling right now? What is she thinking right now? You know, that's what I want to know. I want to know what she's thinking. What makes you happy? I already know.
You do.
But tell people where they can get a hold of you, so they can follow you, and get information and educate themselves.
Yes. So Instagram, it's Ellie_82 is where I post all of my rope work and some of my modeling work, you know, because Instagram is stingy and won't let me post my nudes. But that's probably the best place to follow me. I am on FetLife underneath the same name. Again, I don't really...
Spell that out for me.
Ellie-Ann, mm-hmm. ELIANN_82. Those are the... Right now, the two places I post, I am still on the fence about doing OnlyFans. But if I do go there, then obviously we'll be posting all the nudes.
I had Jessica here last night. I photographed her. She had the biggest breast I've ever seen on a woman. But then now she has a boy, baby boy, eight months old. And her breast went triple size. She said when her breast went triple size, she says her only fan page just blew up. But I had a great time photographing her last night. I'm having a fun time photographing. I want to thank you for coming all the way from Columbus. I think you're first class. I think you actually should start a podcast show.
You think so?
But you definitely got to get back on mine.
Yes.
I want this.
Yes.
I like it.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think it gets people out there talking about you, and that's what they need to know. They need to be talking about this lady because she's going somewhere. And that's in a time right now when it's a spiritual thing too, folks, is when the feminine energy is hitting the earth right now. This is part of the play of it.
I've really enjoyed. So when I started this page, you know, I was merely just moving my stuff off my personal page. Again, because people didn't want to see my rope stuff next to my kids, and it's fine. But I never expected it to blow up the way that it has in the past couple of months. I have people who literally, because I am very, very open on my page. I'm an open book. I have nothing to hide. And I want people to understand that it's okay to be quoting different, because we're not really different. We are normal with what we like. and I have people who message me every single day thanking me for being as open as I am, because it's allowing them to understand that it's okay for them to feel the way they do and to want the things that they want. I have women saying, you know, I asked my husband to tie me up last night, or I asked my husband to spank me last night, or I bought my first set of ropes yesterday.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of, not only am I empowering others, but they are empowering me. I needed this page more than I knew that I needed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also given me that source from my friends that I didn't have, of people that I could talk to about things that I...
It landed you right here at the studio doing what we're doing.
Yeah. But I have people who literally confide so many secrets in me. I know so many things about people on my page.
Oh, my God. It, like Ann Landers?
Yes.
Was that Ann Landers that did that? When people write in and ask about you?
Like, I have...
Oh, my God, I love you. You are so much like that.
I have men who will message
you. You should be a matchmaker.
Oh, God, no.
Do some matchmaking shit in this area. I'm serious. No. Do some matchmaking in this shit area.
I have, men who message me and tell me that their wife pegs them and nobody knows. And I have men who want be pegged.
Great.
And how do they go about getting that? And
ever since I've been in FetLife, you know how many guys I got coming to sending me pictures of them dressed up as girls?
I know.
Wanted me to fuck them?
Yes.
Really? I didn't know this was out here. You know what I mean? I guess it is. You know, but there is a lot of that going on.
But it's interesting just how much, because I am so open about my lifestyle, how much people confide in me and how much they tell me. And I love it because I want people to feel like they have somebody to talk to.
Sure.
And I literally answer every single message that people write me, and I respond to every single
You're doing it for me right here today. You're doing it for me. It's just like Jessica did last night, you know, coming here and just saying, okay, here's my breast. I told her they were the seven wonders of the world. Did you see the size of it? Yep. Did I show you the pictures?
Gorgeous.
Yeah, she got you.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Oh, that picture down the hall over the other one was good. But yes, you're right. We need your pioneers in that sense. And allowing, giving yourself permission. The thing about it is, and I'm going to end at this. We were told, who said you were naked? You know, what the hell? Who was that voice? I'm glad that voice told me I was naked, made me conscious of, being naked. But it gave me a choice, too. And I don't think it's condemning either one. And I think that we have this whole negative thing about sexuality. But I think I think the universe thrives on our sexuality.
It does.
I think it thrives on our orgasm. I think the fact that you had 3 children puts you in a Venus category.
5 children.
5. I mean, no, 3 at one time.
3 at one time.
3 at one time. That puts you in a Venus category. Venus of furs. I mean, Venus. You know, I should wish I had a set of furs here. I put you in a fur and photograph you. You know, for sure. But I want to thank you for coming on the show. We got to get back to photographing.
Yes.
Folks, you want to know, where to get a hold of her on Instagram? My Instagram page again is ghunter_photographer. Get on it with the guru, folks. I'm blowing up. Good things are happening for everybody that listens and moves forward at this point. You want to be focusing on your desires. Don't be focusing on the negative, because we're in a great moment of transformation. I think a lot of things are shifting out there, and I think it's a good time to be alive, folks. So, man, well, that's another podcast, another time. Maybe a little microdose conversation someday, sometime soon. We love you out there. Guru Podcast, Toledo, Ohio, Greg Hunter Mark. Ciao.